few that are away that are usually here on a Sunday evening, and we hope that all is well with them, besides the situation we're aware of regarding Sunny and things that are going on there. We do, however, appreciate the fact that you've been able to gather, we've been able to gather, to study your word. I have an unusual request of you, and that is during the next couple of months, which means you can put it all out of your mind and not remember until sometime you'll say, oh, that's right, Joe asked me to do this. Send me one or two words that you would like incorporated into a lesson. And as this lesson unfolds, you'll understand what I mean. But just be thinking about it as you're hearing the lesson this evening and say, okay, that's good. Let's hear about this and let's hear about this. It can come to you and you might want to send it as a text message. That would be fine. If you want to send it as an email, that would be fine as well. If you have your Bible, let me rewind my tongue. If you have your Bibles open to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we'll begin reading at verse 25 and go to verse 32. Paul says to the Ephesians, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, but give place to the devil. Let him who stole no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What the lesson is about this evening and what we're going to talk about for a few minutes are speaking encouraging words, and therefore the request that I gave you. The request is that over the course of days going through life, I'm going to mention four in tonight's lesson, but if you have another word in mind, mention it to me, and in a few months I'll put together another Sunday evening lesson and talk about some other words with the emphasis on the idea of uplifting and encouraging each other. There's a great deal said in the Scriptures about the dangers of the tongue and how destructive it is and how we need to be mindful of it and how it can be so unruly and the responsibilities we have because of the great potential for good and the great potential for harm and evil that can come from the tongue. So we need to be careful that we're not destructive with our mouths, with the words we say, and that we be aware of the fact that we be known as individuals who want obviously to speak the truth, who want obviously to be able to influence people to change their lives for the truth, but also in that process find the time to speak to others about words that are encouraging, words that are going to uplift them and build them up. So that we see that we are individuals who are not speaking in ways that are like a piercing of a sword, as the proverb writer tells us. That we use our tongues that they bring about that which is wise, and they are those things which will promote good spiritual health within us, and I might even say good mental health within us as we go about our daily lives. I believe that each and every one of us want to be encouraged within the course of our lives. And therefore, we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to be giving each other the reasons to be encouraged about what is in our lives. If we take on the idea of looking for times to speak encouraging words, we'll never really know whether or not we have spoken at just that right minute for someone who needed those words of encouragement. Nothing they had said, no behavior they were showing us indicated it, but we simply chose that moment in time to say something that was uplifting to them. And whether they tell us or not, it may well penetrate their hearts, penetrate their mind, and really be a great antidote to the sin that is around them and the dangers that Satan is trying to foist upon them in their lives, to ruin their lives as children of God, to steal them of the joy, and I'm using that S-T-E-A-L, to steal the joy that is to be within their hearts as children of God. I think each and every one of us need to recognize the great good that is found in the gift of speech that we have, and therefore use that good among ourselves. One of the first of the four words that I want to talk about for a moment this evening is the idea of gratitude. And when I talk about the idea of gratitude, I'm talking about being appreciative. There was an old gentleman at Baldwin who had the expression, or used the expression, give them roses while they're alive. Give them their flowers while they're alive. His name was Brother Cockrell. And he was in his mid-80s and passed away while we lived there. But he would always say, give them the roses while they are alive. And he had words of encouragement, showing gratitude not only to me, but I heard him do it with others as well. And it's good to be known as one who wants to show appreciation for others as brothers and sisters in Christ. Much to the effect as Keith was presenting in the prayer tonight. That needs to be the way we live and think about our relationship with each other. And as I said at the introduction, this is by no means ruling out the times when we need to be admonished, because we'll even mention later that admonition can be a beneficial thing as well. But how do you feel about people? How do you feel about whether or not they are thankful for what you're doing? I would imagine many within this audience work in environments where thankfulness isn't one of those things that's on the tip of the foreman's tongue or the boss's tongue, or maybe even co-workers. They're just not showing any kind of gratitude for what you're doing. Nothing I can do about that unless you can ask them to listen to the lesson online, and maybe they'll change their ways and start being more appreciative. But certainly the words that we talk about tonight and this idea of gratitude, I would hope would influence each and every one of us to do the best we can to show our appreciation for one another. And I think sometimes just our very nature is to hold back rather than going ahead and expressing it. There are a number of areas. We talk often about the elderly within the congregation and what encouragement they are to us, and how we should have gratitude for the example that they have set for us and what they're doing, even in just their presence or a word spoken here or there, and how it is so uplifting to us and we can appreciate it. But do we truly express appreciation back to them? Or do we initiate that appreciation? And on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have our young people in the congregation that present for us such wonderful examples of young people who are interested in the Word, involved in the Word. It is a real treat for Connie and I to have them over to the house on the last Sunday night of the month and listen to the conversations and the words and the passages we talk about. Do we express our appreciation to them, both individually and sometimes as little groups as they gather around to talk about things that are going on in their life? We should be willing to do that and be attuned to their needs, because no one wants to be unappreciated. Even those who may appear to be the most thick-skinned among us, and I'm not using that as a derogatory comment at all. There are people who over the course of their life have learned that, yeah, there are going to be difficult times and I just have to go ahead and plow through it and do what needs to be done. And that may give an appearance of what I've just called as that thick-skinnedness. But I'm pretty sure, unless they've let it go down to the core of who they are, they still want to be appreciated. And they will be built up by us expressing that appreciation to them. So I hope that you'll do that, you'll think about that. Paul certainly showed his genuine gratefulness to congregations and to individuals. I just want to read a couple of passages. They both happen to be to the Thessalonian church. They're in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. He wanted them to know. He appreciated. He was grateful for them. And it wasn't just some idea about some financial support, but it ran into the core of who they were, and he wanted them to understand it. We go on in the book and look in the second chapter there, in verses 19 and 20, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." He was letting them know, I appreciate, I am grateful for the production of your faith, for the production of your love, for the production of your work in sharing the gospel with others. And I just want you to know, and that's why I've written these words in this epistle. Now think about it. He writes in the other epistle to the Thessalonians some very difficult things to deal with, because they had their problems and they had issues that needed to be dealt with. But even so, he took the time, directed by the Holy Spirit, but I believe that it was part of that which was within his heart for them. He took the time to express the appreciation that he had for them. I think that we want to be sure that we not only feel gratitude toward others, but that we recognize the need to express that gratitude. Think about that. If you need to, get your directory out. I've talked about the directories before with regard to matters of prayer, etc. But get the directory out sometime and go through it and just look at individuals and families and people within the families and just ask yourself, when did I actually express to them my appreciation for some facet of their life? And if you can go through the directory and look at page after page and face after face and say, I don't know that I appreciate anything about them. It's not that I have a negative attitude toward them. I'm pretty much ambivalent about it. Then we need to repent of that sin, get to knowing one another, and get busy expressing our gratitude for them. So I want to lay that out as a challenge to you, and I hope you'll pick up the challenge and look for opportunities. Express that gratitude, that appreciativeness for those within the congregation. There's another, and we often think of this primarily around the idea of our relationship to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it certainly is true that that is applicable, but it also has a very personal level in our relationships. When you look at the definition of love, as we often call it in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 7, what does he say? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I think what he's trying to let us know is that we need to believe the best about others and then express that belief. It takes me back again to my challenge regarding the directory. It is, I think, important for us to look at individuals and realize the good that we maybe had been taking for granted and express it, showing them the trust and the confidence that we have in them, letting them know, hey, I believe in who you are. I believe in what you're trying to do. I believe in the good that you're doing in this congregation, even if I've not expressed it before. And by the way, this in no way is a lesson promoting, and I'd say this in complete seriousness, this is by no means an effort to express or gain from you words of gratitude, words of faith and trust for myself. You have done an excellent job of that. Connie and I both are so thankful that you express your appreciation in so many ways. And we just want you to know that. So don't. This is not a self-serving lesson. This is a lesson that I hope will be to the benefit of each and every one of us. Paul certainly had a great confidence in his brethren and expressed, and we certainly read what he said about the brethren there at Thessalonica. But to the Romans, he said there in 15 and verse 14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." What's interesting here is Paul wrote this to people he'd never met. Now there were some that he had occasion to know and they were in Rome, but he'd not been there yet. So this wasn't from a first-hand experience, but by reputation and things he'd heard from people whom he knew who had been there. And he understood the value of speaking those encouraging words of trust and confidence in those around him and those that he knew simply as his brothers and sisters in Christ. In Philemon 21, it says, "Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say." Remember, the epistle is based on Onesimus going back to Philemon because he had actually gotten away from him, having been a slave to Onesimus, to Philemon. And Paul is writing, "I know you're going to even do better than I'm hoping." Are there people in the congregation here whom you have some confidence in and you have gratitude for them? But you know, if you express that and if you express that trust in them, it may help them to flourish even more and more in what they are doing that you've already noticed, to where it becomes evident to others around them. So you may become a great vehicle for God in helping one who is indeed an asset within maybe a small circle become an asset of even greater proportion with regard to the idea of this faith and trust in one another. The Hebrew writer says it this way in Hebrews the 6th chapter verse 9, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. He had talked about some difficult things about the brother or sister who had fallen away to such an extent that they may never again be returned to the Lord because their heart is so hardened. But he says, even with that in mind, understand that I have a confidence in you. And while there may be things in your life that have been discouraging to you, maybe some people around you that have been disappointing to you, nonetheless, you can rise above that and have an exceeding amount of confidence and trust in others. And so take advantage of that. And let that be something to focus on rather than those things that can be so discouraging at various points within your life. I think it's important we recognize letting people know that we trust them. We value their judgment on some matter or another matter. And let that then help them to dig deeper within themselves to give people to have a greater sense of trust. Another is the idea of hope within the lives of others. And by that I'm talking about the more simplistic. We're going to talk about scriptures that reference the hope of eternal life, obviously. But there's also just that very basic definition of cherishing a desire, having an anticipation of the fulfillment of something. There's something that we want to have it happen. We want to see it come to completeness, maybe if not in our lifetime, at least it's building to that end one day. Do you have that kind of hope about people around you? Getting specific, people within this congregation? The things I said earlier about the elderly and the young people, I don't want to discount the elderly, but with regard to the young people, what better way to be of encouragement to them than to express that hope, that anticipation, for them to even produce more and more
of that spiritualness that you've already seen in them, that spirituality that can affect others around them. I will just tell you, from the conversations I've had with a number of the young people in the congregation here, we have some tremendous kids. And excuse me for referencing you as goats, but you know how I mean it, in a sense of the children here. And the comments that they have made and the thoughts that they have regarding those that they're around at school and in other places, and the concern they have for the souls of those that they know that we don't know anything about. It's a wonderful thing, and we should be encouraging them. And in doing so, what we're really doing is helping to build them in their faith, and in spiritual terms, their faith with regarding Christ. In Ephesians 1 and 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He wants all of us to have that expectation, and He wants us to encourage expectation among us. The Lord hasn't come yet. It's been over, well, it has been over 2,000 years. It's going to be 2,000 years soon since He went back to the Father. But that doesn't change the fact that we build ourselves up in the hope of His return. We build ourselves up in the hope of the great day of judgment as something that we will be able to look forward to. And encourage others to take on that same attitude. I think by encouraging others in this matter of hope, what we're helping them do is enrich their lives today while they're walking in the light. We find in 1 Peter, the first chapter, 3 and 4, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Share that enthusiasm with each other. Share that enthusiasm with the people around you. You can even share this aspect of your hope with the people in the world that you work with that could possibly cause them to turn and say, "What is that hope? How can I have that hope that this person working beside me every day seems to carry?" Words of encouragement are helpful as we encourage hope in the lives of others. I think we can do a great deal of good by building up the hope in others. Rather than what sometimes happens, rather than quenching that hope they should have, destroying that hope, instead we lift it up, we build it up. The final word we're going to look at this evening is one that would be obvious. If you're going to start with a group of words, it would be the word love. If I hadn't presented it tonight, I would imagine somebody at some point would talk about it. And since obviously these are going to be relatively short topics on each word, love tonight, we're not going to look at it in any of the broadest of senses. We're going to kind of look specifically. If you'll open your Bible to 1 John, we've talked about this passage a number of times. There have been times that we've looked at it in our various readings, because here we're talking, as these other words are, speaking encouraging words to each other. And the reason is quite simple, as John puts it here in 1 John the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 20. He says, beginning at 20 and reading through chapter 5 and verse 2, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." It is a prerequisite. I've stopped reading from the text. It's a prerequisite in the eyes of God to have the full fellowship with God, that we make sure we have full fellowship and love for one another. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." That's talking about every child of God here. We're begotten of Him because of the sacrifice He gave. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Very simply, that's what I want to talk about with regard to the word love in our discussion this evening. We can talk about and will at times and have at times all the grand aspects of love that are talked about in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And we can have a great understanding of what that love is, or we can be striving to have a greater understanding of that love. And yet if we don't show that love for others, if we don't express that love in encouraging words, because it doesn't exist within us, then all that other stuff we know about 1 Corinthians 13 love is going to be of no value to God. Because all we'll have is an intellectual understanding of what love is from 1 Corinthians 13, but we'll have no practical applying of our love for God by applying it to others. And that's really what John, at a number of times in this passage, or 1 John in whole, is telling us. You can say you love God all you want. You can read about it. You can have great depth on it. You can go on and on and on about your love for God. But if you don't have it for others, if you don't have it for your brethren, it cancels it out. It's kind of like the whole idea of forgiveness. If you're not willing to forgive others, you cancel out the forgiveness of your sins in the presence of God Almighty. So that's a serious matter, and so it is with love as we speak words of encouragement. And so tonight I would hope that you would consider whether or not you're speaking words of encouragement during the course of your life, during the course of your interactions with members of the congregation. I hope that wherever you find your abilities to be strongest, that you are going to realize the things we've talked about this evening are all things that are significant for doing good for others and uplifting one another. And that you want to be that person that is known as somebody who is indeed able to present words that are like those apples of gold. Do words like apples of gold come from your heart and from your mind? I would hope and pray that they do. I hope our goal is to be refreshing those around us, those we deal with. And this is applicable. Feel free to take this lesson out into the world tomorrow and throughout the week. Feel obligated to take this lesson, make it applicable to your brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to sing a song of encouragement at this time. For those in the audience who might for some reason need to respond to the invitation. And I must tell you that I realize that the invitation at times may sound rather repetitious. And especially when most in the audience who are of the age of accountability are already children of God, there still may be some who need our prayers. And I would hope that we would be willing to seek the prayers of others. As I've said in the past, it's not something that needs always to be something where you come forward and ask for our prayers, but it might be something that you'll seek from others in the congregation and ask them to pray about you and the matters that are confronting you. But if you do have a need to respond and we can be of assistance, please have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.